Taylor said Karma is the guy on the Chiefs, but like, none of us are going to have the exact same reaction to it, and we're not all going to say the same funny thing about it. Sometimes what makes somebody gravitate towards your content is simply that they relate with your type of comedy.
Welcome to The Digital Dreamer, where we believe it's possible to escape the suffocating 9-to-5, achieve financial independence, have the freedom to do the things you love, and contribute to the greater good, all by being smart about digital marketing.
Hello, everyone. I'm Abby.
And I'm Kim.
Welcome back to The Digital Dreamer podcast. It has been a minute, and our only excuse for that is that we're human and sometimes life happens, but we are very excited for the content that we have planned for you guys.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of new and exciting things to talk about to help you thrive and to help you make money in your business.
So today's episode is going to be ins and outs for content creators in 2024.
Now, I'm sure by now most people have seen all of the TikTok and Instagram reels where we're talking about ins and outs. And so we wanted to put our own spin on it.
Yes, I think those are so fun. Every time one of those comes up on my Instagram, I watch it because I'm like, oh, do they have any good ins that I need to add to my ins for the year?
I know. So let's see. Listen to this as you're listening and think about if you agree with us, which of these things you can change to become more efficient and more consistent in your content creation.
Our number one in, okay, these are in no particular order, I should say. So I shouldn't say our number one, it's just the first one. Our first in is having multiple income streams.
And that's just a good way to make sure you're not relying on brand dealers or Amazon influencer income or something like what's happened recently where a lot of the social networks have cut their creator programs and all of a sudden people that were making thousands of dollars a month are like, well, where am I supposed to get my money from?
Yeah, so it's just a good idea to have multiple different ways that you're making money so that you're not relying on one person or one company all the time to make sure that you're making ends.
Because we cannot control as creators what a brand is going to do, what the economy is going to do,
what our followers or customers are going to do, if they're going to buy from us or not. We can't really control that.
And now, if you do these things as hobbies, it's no big deal, right? But if you're doing it because this is the lifestyle you want to live off of it, then the things that we're giving for ins and outs here should be things that you want to pay attention to.
Our next in for 2024 is learning new things. We are all about expanding our minds and our knowledge this year. That means we are reading books on more topics that interest us or can teach us something.
We're learning new skills for business, but we're also spending time learning new skills or finding new hobbies, things that we can do just for fun. Because one of the things that is so important as a creator or a business person is making sure that you are finding ways to take care of yourself and to reduce your stress. And also, when you get away from your main thing that you do, by doing another activity, you find that you're more creative, I think.
Well, and I just think it's really important to make sure that you have hobbies that you don't feel like you have to monetize. And I know, at least for me, as a creator, a lot of times it's really hard to just have a hobby that you just do for fun and there's no pressure. Because I feel like the world has taught us that, like, oh, if you're good at something, you have to make money from doing that. But you're allowed to just want to do something just because you like to do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Also, what about taking risks? I think it should be an in to take risks, to get out of your comfort zone.
Yes, I agree with that. I have definitely on my own social media channels been posting more kinds of videos that I hadn't been posting a lot of. And I've seen great reward from that. One thing that I started doing was just not second guessing myself and just hitting post. And to me, that's taking a risk because I could sit there and nitpick every single thing I said or a weird way I stuttered or like my eyeball looks weird or something. I could do that for hours. So now we're taking risks. We're not nitpicking ourselves. we're hitting post, we're doing the thing that we're a little bit scared of, because those are the things that are going to help you see great reward.
And as Abby's sister reminded me the other day, we are our own harshest critic.
So
nobody else is paying as much attention to what you post as you are.
Another in, and this one's so important, in 2024, we are charging what we're worth. We are not going to let brands trick us into thinking that a gifted collab is okay. You can have a gifted collab, but they can pay you as well, okay?
And also, I think what also goes with that is something that happens to Abby a lot, is somebody wants to get on a phone call to pick her brain. And I would suggest that it's nice and kind to share your knowledge and to let people pick your brain. But if it becomes a habit, or if you feel like people are just using you and they're picking your brain, and it seems like what happens to you a lot is that people want to pick your brain to learn, well, tell me all about the Amazon Influencer Program. Teach me the shortcut. Teach me the shortcuts to this and that. Well, you have spent a lot of time learning these things, and it is not just like somebody info dumped all of this on you. And so that makes it valuable, and it makes it something that people should pay you for example, in a course.
I agree. Your skills and your knowledge are very valuable, and you should be paid accordingly. And this also goes for if you have clients, don't let your clients walk all over you and say, oh, can we maybe bring the rate down? Charge what you're worth. You know what you're worth, and you deserve to be paid accordingly.
And the same goes in this category for scope creep, where somebody's paying you for one thing, and then they ask you to do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And before you know it, you know, you're doing a little bit extra just to be nice. And pretty soon, it's just this thing where it's become this uncontrollable monster. Get your time back.
Another in for 2024 is we are reaching out to brands instead of waiting for them to come to us. Why should we have to wait to work with our dream brand until they discover we exist? How about we just tell them we exist? This doesn't even have to be sending them an email and saying, hey, pay me. It can just, hey, I want to introduce myself. This is what I do. This is the kind of content I create, and I would love to form a relationship and potentially work together in the future.
And I think this goes along just in life in general with being your own advocate. You can wish and hope for things as much as you want all the time, but wishing and hoping doesn't make you money. Taking action makes you money.
Yeah, do not wait for these brands to come knock on your door, because there are so many content creators and influencers out there who they're already reaching out to these brands. These brands aren't necessarily reaching out to them. They can't know you exist until they know you exist.
Another big in is making sure you're using SEO on Instagram, TikTok, and podcasts, not just using hashtags. Hashtags still work, but maybe not for the reason that people are thinking. Like, you don't need to load up your caption or your first comment with hashtags anymore, because it doesn't really help you get found. Hashtags are more like for categorizing things.
That the way that the hashtags are still helping you is probably because it has a keyword in it that somebody's searching for.
And it's a meaningful keyword.
Not like,
I was thinking about the For You page.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't be hashtag For You page. It would be like, who do you want that to be seen by on the For You page? It's not, the hashtag itself is not really important.
But I still follow hashtags, because I will follow hashtags for like mocktail recipes. Or I follow a hashtag, because you know, it's still an option, you can follow a hashtag.
Yeah.
And I follow hashtags for, let's say, glute exercises or core exercises. So those kinds that help you categorize work. But otherwise, work those words into your carousel or into your caption in a way that helps people, and in a way that helps people understand what your content's about, and helps you get found when people are looking for something really specific. For example, we use it a lot when we go someplace on vacation.
Yes, I'll always find the best restaurants for us because I'll search you know, Maui, Hawaii places to eat in the Instagram search bar or the TikTok search bar, and it comes up all of these places that people have made videos about or taken pictures of. And so that it's that kind of thing. And now you can write really long captions, so you might as well take advantage of that. And when we're talking about SEO and keywords, we're not saying just write a bunch of random spammy words in your caption to try to get them found by something. That's a great way to get flagged as spam by TikTok or Instagram, and then nobody will see your post because they think you're a bot. So naturally, just talk about it in your caption, about what you're talking about in your video, or what kind of people this is good for, or who this will help. The next in is showing your face on camera. Listen, I love a good aesthetic reel, just like anyone else, but I also want to see your face and your personality. I want to see what makes you, you. I want to get to know you, the person behind the camera. And so I think in 2024, another big thing we're going to be seeing is less of the aesthetic content and more of people with their face on camera talking to you, to their audience.
Next, I want to talk about two types of content that are in. First is Pinterest. I know people don't like to use Pinterest, or it seems like just another place you have to be, but Pinterest is really easy to incorporate into what you're already doing, and it has better long-term value than almost anything else that you're creating because they have a longer lifespan compared to some of the other social media platforms that you're using, which means that whatever you post on Pinterest can come up years and years later. I think there's things that I posted 10 years ago that will still pop up as being some of my content that get the most interaction still today.
Well, and Pinterest in general, if you're wanting to get into affiliate marketing or Amazon influencer, Pinterest is a great, great tool to utilize for that. I personally get a lot of clicks to my Amazon storefront through using Pinterest and making Pinterest graphics and posting things about my home and being like, oh, it's linked on the picture. If you click the picture, you can buy this.
And that just makes so much sense, right? Because people are on Pinterest when they're in the mood. They're looking for something specific.
Yeah.
And if you're selling something that matches that specific thing, it's just in a rate.
Because don't you hate it when you go on Pinterest and you're like, oh, that's so cute, I want that. And then you click on the picture and it doesn't take you anywhere. And you're like, hello, you're not going to link it? I wanted to buy that. You're like, I would literally buy that right this second if you just had it linked.
So maybe that's another in that we didn't think about, is make it easy for people to buy.
Yeah, making it easy for people to buy. I mean, that's one way that I've been so successful all of this time with Amazon Influencer is I make it so crazy easy to find the links that I'm talking about in my videos or on my stories. I'll have the link to like very specific products. But if I'm talking about something in my reels, I'll say multiple times, once, like actually saying it once on the screen in text and once in the caption, that if you want any of these things, they are linked in my storefront, in my bio. And I pride myself on the fact that I think it's very organized, and you can always find what you're looking for when I link something. So yeah, make it easy. People will get tired of looking for it. They'll be like, I don't need it that bad.
Right. That's so true.
If it takes too long, you're like, oh, I don't need it.
Or if it takes so long, sometimes I just go Google it or go straight to Amazon and look for it myself. And then you miss out on that commission if you're doing affiliate things. And then the last kind of content that we think is an in, because it is.
Because it always is, but
is long form content. As we were talking about planning this episode, we were saying that long form content never really went out of style. But when people started trying to beat the algorithm, they started making shorter and shorter and shorter videos.
Yeah.
And a lot of those just don't have a lot of value.
Yeah. So YouTube, in my opinion, will always be relevant. It's not going away. TikTok is now pushing for longer videos. You can upload videos up to 10 minutes long on TikTok now. And TikTok actually considers their biggest competitor to be YouTube, not Instagram. So if that tells you where they're thinking they're headed, it's long form content.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Now let's talk about the out. And of course, outs sometimes just means we're flipping an in, but there are a lot of things that we want to remind you not to do.
So number one, and listen, I'm so guilty of this too. Mindless doom scrolling is out. Scrolling for hours and hours and hours for ideas or inspiration or just to scroll. And then, you know, you look up and you're like, how has it been 5 hours? And I've just been sitting on the couch in this one spot like a little potato. We're not doing that.
And then another out is negative self-talk or imposter syndrome. Believe it or not, nobody else knows what they're doing either. Everybody is making it up as they go along. Even, have you noticed that when you listen to a lot of the big names in your category, that they all start talking about something at the same time? It's because like they talk to each other, or one of them talks to another person, and then they're like, oh yeah, that person's smarter than me. Let's jump on their bandwagon and go with it. I just mean, nobody knows. Everybody's making this stuff up. So don't get intimidated thinking that you don't know enough to do something.
Yeah. So if you're someone who's like, oh, I'm so stupid, I don't know anything, I can't do this. Literally nobody knows what they are doing, and we are all just making it up. Even the people who look like they have it all together, we are all just making it up as we go along, especially because all of these platforms love to just, once you get comfortable, flip everything. They just flip the table over and they're like, so actually we're starting over. And it's always when you get a little too comfortable, and then Instagram's like, so actually we're going to delete the app. Like, they'll just like really throw a wrench in your plans.
That is so true. Also, let's talk about this one. Posting just for the sake of going viral. How often do you see somebody who there's a big trend, and so everybody wants to jump on that trend, even if it has nothing to do with their business? And so then they post on this thing that's completely off topic, and then they wonder why their brand didn't get any traction from it.
Yeah, they'll be like, well, I got 1 million views. Why did I only get 2 followers? And it's because you went viral for posting about bread, and you post about cars. And so when people clicked on your profile, they're like, I thought that this was a page about making homemade sourdough, and it's actually about racing sports cars. So, you know, like, they're not going to follow you if they found you and liked you because there's the two people who followed you, they happen to like both things. So,
but I think an example of how to do this the right way goes all the way back to when you started having success with Amazon Influencer. And a lot of that was related to Taylor Swift. But the Taylor Swift thing did not just come out of the blue. You had been posting about Taylor Swift because you are a diehard Swiftie. It wasn't random. And so people came back because they're like, oh, that's really funny, or that's really true, or I want to know more. But it was because it was already part of your brand.
Yes, because it was already a part of my personal brand, which we should talk about more, but at a later date. But this is why your personal brand is so important, because then when you go viral for something, you know, fun like Taylor Swift, when people go look at your page, they're like, okay, she does this, but also obviously she loves Taylor Swift, and that's very clear. It's not like super random. You just don't want to go viral for something that's like so random on your page, like out of nowhere.
Right. And really, you do a great job with this because you have some pretty main things that you talk about, and they all are also loosely related, so that the people who follow you probably also like the majority of those same things that you like.
Oh, you mean you think all of my followers are former theater kids who love Taylor Swift and started their own entrepreneurial business and also like Diet Coke and dogs?
Well, maybe not. Maybe not like down to that. But I was thinking like, you know, they like Taylor Swift. They like entertaining. They like having fun. You're always posting content that shows how you enjoy life.
Yes. So true.
So yes, that's specific, but not down to the nitty gritty that you just did.
I mean, maybe some of them are.
I mean, they could be. Well, we know that there are some of those. Okay. Also out, lazy content.
So we're no longer posting just to post. I know everyone and their brother will be like, you have to post on Instagram 800 times a day if you want to grow. Guess what? We are not going to post lazy content just because we think we need to get something up on the platform.
So we're not going to go for quantity over quality. We're always now the in to that would be that we're going to focus on quality and not just posting massive and massive amounts of garbage to see what sticks.
We're not throwing the spaghetti noodle at the wall to see if it's done.
So have fun and experiment. Take the pressure off. Have fun. Know that you don't have to post 3 to 5 times a day per network because somebody said or because the algorithm said that this is kind of stuff that leads to burnout. And your audience is actually going to fall off these days because nobody wants to see garbage. They want to see your best ideas.
Well, and I also think that lazy content could also be, I've seen so many videos from, you know, the gurus and whatever. They're like, all you have to do to make content is just take this random video of nothing and put some words over it and make sure it's 7 seconds long with this sound and you're good to go. And it's like a lot of people will take that and do exactly what they just said. And they will take a random video like of their feet or something and put
OnlyFans
and then put the and put like the most random words that nobody is going to read. And they're like, well, why didn't I go viral? It's because you're posting something that nobody cares about. And then you're just posting because you think you need to be posting.
Okay, this one isn't lazy content, but my example is something that really, really gets under my skin. I just hate it so much. Is when they do a reel or a post and it'll say 3 things, blah, blah, blah. And then that you watch for the whole 7 or 8 or however many seconds. And then they don't actually say, and then it points down to the caption, read the caption. And I think that people are tired of being tricked. And
no, I don't like that. I don't like it either.
It might be helping engagement, but over time, you're like, okay, I'm wise to this. And you're like, I'm not going to click on
so
that.
I think the reason they're doing it is because obviously they want you to stick around for the whole 7 seconds or whatever, how long the video is, so that it tells Instagram, oh, people are watching the whole thing. But then they also want you to go read the caption because then it loops over and over again. And they're killing 2 birds with 1 stone because all of the SEO is then in the caption.
This is true,
I understand why they do it, but I scroll past those videos every single time because it drives me crazy also.
Yeah, so I think the lesson here is to think through why you're doing something and balance that with don't tick off your audience. Like, they're coming to you for information. And so don't make them work too hard and don't take the fun away from watching your video. Don't annoy them.
Well, and of course, like all of these things we're saying right now, like all of these, you know, there are exceptions to these rules. If it's working for you, any of these things, keep doing it. Like, keep doing your thing. If it's working for you, it's just that a lot of people are doing this in a way that doesn't work for them. And they're like, why is it not working? And it's like, sometimes when things continually don't work for us, we have to take a step back, examine why it's maybe not working, and then pivot and do something else.
So in the ends, I said that you should maybe not let people pick your brain all the time. You should kind of protect your knowledge. But one of the outs that we have is gatekeeping. And that is not the same as protecting your knowledge. Do you want to talk about what kind of gatekeeping we're talking about?
Yeah, we're not being like mean girl, gatekeepy girl boss. Like, we're going to share where we got our shirt if somebody asks. We're going to share where we got our lipstick if somebody asks. If somebody asks you, where did you learn to do that? How did you learn to do that? We are going to share the resources in which we learned how to do something. And I don't think that this, because it's different if they want you to just give them the shortcut and tell them everything. If they want to know genuinely, what course did you take to learn that? It sounds like it would really help me. We're not going to gatekeep and pretend that we just were born with that knowledge.
I mean, just another aspect of this I think that's important is also sharing information so that we can all rise together. And that might be something like you got invited to speak somewhere. Oh, who's hiring the speaker? You got hired to speak. Well, could we talk about ranges of what you got paid for that so that the women are all asking for enough? Because we know that men are hired for things more often a lot of times, and they almost always get more. Now, whether that's because they're taught to negotiate better or because people are still undervaluing and underpaying women, I don't know. But that's just another aspect of gatekeeping. We need to talk about these things so that we can help everybody rise.
Yes, there is room for all of us. I know a lot of people feel like it's so oversaturated with content creators and influencers, but I promise you it's not. There is literally room for everybody because nobody is doing it the way you're doing it. Nobody is you. Nobody says something. You and someone else could have the exact same amount of followers. You could talk about the exact same things, but the way she says it and the way you say it, completely different. And people follow you too for different reasons. So there's room for all of us. And so, yeah, another one of those things is just being transparent about how much a brand is paying you if somebody asks. And how did you get there? Like, how did you like decide your rates? And like, what went into it? What kind of questions did they ask when you were negotiating? And just things like that. Like, it kind of is the same as when people are telling you, oh, like, you're not allowed to ask how much other people at your workplace make. And it's like, why? Because you want an excuse. You want
so they can keep you, scamming.
It's like,
you
yeah, you want pain. You want it to be a secret that you're scamming someone. Like, no, we're going to share. We're not gatekeeping. We're not gaslight gatekeeping girl bossing. Okay, like,
here's a fun example though of this. Somebody asked me this just this past week: is why would Abby want to teach anybody how to be an influencer? And my answer was, well, she can teach people how to do it, but nobody is Abby. Abby is her very own unique person. And anybody in this audience could do their own thing with exactly what you're teaching. And they would put their own spin on it. And it would be unique because you have unique personalities and interests.
Yeah. I mean, me and so many other Taylor Swift girlies with like around the same amount of followers all follow each other and hype each other's content up because yeah, we might all be talking about the exact same, you know, like, oh, Taylor said karma is the guy on the Chiefs, but like, none of us are going to have the exact same reaction to it. And we're not all going to say the same funny thing about it. Like, sometimes what makes somebody gravitate towards your content is simply that, like, they relate with your type of comedy. Like, you guys have the same sense of humor, you know?
And just yeah. Related to that, we've talked a lot about brand deals and influencer programs. I want to remind you that we will put a link to Abby's influencer training in the show notes. So if you want to explore that and learn from Abby, it is in the show notes and she'll get you hooked up.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have for outs? Let's see. Oh, okay. Another out is always writing down content ideas, but never creating content. I am guilty of this. Is anyone else guilty of the never-ending list of content ideas in your iPhone Notes app that just sits there? Your iPhone Notes app is where your ideas go to die most of the time. Like, the amount of ideas I've written down, and then I have never, ever looked at them ever again. And that's not to say, you know, I have ADHD brain, so I got to write it down, but we have to take action. We can't just always be writing down the content ideas. At some point, we have to make time to actually create the content.
And I think that this is an excellent topic for a future episode too. How do you get past that, either the doom scrolling or the constant writing down ideas but not taking action? I think we're going to set that up as a future episode.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too.
Another out is creating content with only your audience in mind. And I don't mean ignoring your target audience. What I'm talking about is, let's say that you have outgrown a topic that you used to talk about. Maybe you were a Taylor Swift fan, but now you're not anymore.
Oh,
but,
no.
I know. That's not really happening in the world. Taylor and Travis are bigger than ever. But let's just say, like, you were a Swiftie and you decided you're not a Swiftie anymore. You are not locked into, or you should not be locked into, continuing to create that content if it does not bring you joy. So that is one example of creating content with only your audience in mind. But really the idea here is to create content that embraces your own humor, your quirky self, your own interests, something that makes you happy. Because if you're creating content and just going with your, you know, whatever interests you, whatever you think is funny, whatever makes you happy, that is going to be the content that the most unique and the content that resonates most with people.
And I feel like this also kind of comes back to something I said earlier when I was talking about If you're creating content that's not working, it's not converting, it's not getting views, you take a step back, you reevaluate, and you pivot. If you're creating content that suddenly is not working for you, like it's not resonating with you, you do the same thing. You take a step back, you think about why it's not working for you, why it's not resonating with you anymore, and you pivot.
Right. Another just fun example that I always like to share when we're talking on this topic is a guy who grew up in Kansas City who started doing YouTube videos, and they were very, very kind of quirky. If you've ever heard of Kalen Allen, who was on the Ellen show, he started out by making food reaction videos. Now, why on earth he decided to do that? I mean, I don't know. It's not like he was jumping on trends.
No, he was just doing that. And the thing was, he was never posting them to go viral. At first, he was posting them on his like personal Facebook page, I think. And then somebody one day was like, hey, can you make this public? And then one of them like went, because they wanted to share it to their own page, and one of them went viral. And so then he started, then it became a whole thing. But that was his thing. He just reacted to people cooking recipes that he thought were nasty and was just like reacting to them. And the way he would react, as people who knew him, it was very, very him. And so Kalen literally went viral
just by being himself.
And it was his personality that people liked. And that's another thing, just about, you know, creating content and your personal brand in general. When you get people to fall in love with your personality, the way you talk, your sense of humor, they don't care what you post about. They just want to hear you say it.
That's true. But we know a number of kids from Kansas City who are now adults from Kansas City, but who got the doors opened for them by doing something that it was just, they were doing something fun because they liked it and it took off. So be you and create content that is you. All right. Our last out before we wrap up is content that is obviously written by AI. It is all over the place.
And guys, here's the thing. I'm not here to say don't use AI, don't use ChatGPT, because it can be very helpful for a lot of things. I don't want to be able to tell that ChatGPT wrote your caption. An example of this, I won't name names, but I did see an influencer with a big following on YouTube the other day post a video. And the description of that video, and it was a vlog, the description of that video was so clearly written by ChatGPT to the point where it was like, I think I physically cringed. And I don't mean that to sound mean to her. I just mean that ChatGPT sometimes writes, an AI writes in a very specific way. And, you know, if we're doing a description or a caption about a vlog, which is something we actually did, we spent our day doing that, I feel like we should be able to write a few paragraphs of keyword-rich description for the vlog to say what we did. I just feel like let's not let ChatGPT and AI make us lazy.
We'll use it for brainstorming.
Yes.
Use it to flesh out an idea, but don't use it to be your idea. Like, if your vlog is about how I spent my day,
you should know how you spent your day. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should know how you spent your day. But also, I don't want, it just feels inauthentic. And I don't want to feel like I just spent all this time. Maybe this is dramatic, but I'm like, I want to feel like I just spent all this time watching your video and you couldn't even bother to like write four sentences.
No.
You know, in the description. It's not even about that necessarily, but it's like, I don't know. I just don't want us to become a world where everything has been written by ChatGPT and we can tell.
Well,
and I want to hear how you say it.
And then another thing to think about, though, especially if you're inexperienced or new with writing with AI, is that a lot of times it will use the same phrases or the same introductory phrases for a sentence. There's certain words that it likes to use over and over and over again. And if these are not your words, then it's going to come across as being really fake.
Yeah. I saw another one recently, someone who posts recipes on Instagram Reels, and the caption of the reel, I was like, ChatGPT was here. Yeah. It was like, I can tell, because it'll be like, step into the world of marvelous banana bread. And you're like, Did you not proofread this? What? What do you step into the world of marvelous banana bread? Like, what does that mean?
That's an interesting visual now, isn't it?
I don't know if that's exactly what
That is one.
I said step into the world because that's one that I've noticed that ChatGPT loves is step into the world of. But it'll say it over and over again.
Yeah, that's so funny. All right. Those are our ins and outs for 2024.
Let us know. I'm going to post like a little graphic of these ins and outs on our Instagram. Head over to our Instagram and let us know which of these ins and outs that you'll be using as well. And if you have any ins and outs that you would like other people in the comments to know about.
And we're on a roll again with this podcast. So send us your questions. What do you want to know about influencer marketing, content creation, how to make money with digital marketing? Let us know what you want to know. And we'll do an episode on it.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to tune in next time.